We're so grateful for your presence. We ask that you come back each and every time you're able to be with us. And if you live here in our community, and we want you to be a part of this great spiritual family here at Highland Heights. Probably most of you know that my younger brother, Stacy, passed away Monday. And I appreciate all the cards and emails and texts and all the hugs you've given me. We grew up just 3 years and 3 months apart. And I was so proud because my parents would have to ask me to interpret for my little brother because they couldn't understand what he said. And I played with him all the time, so I felt really big. I could be an interpreter. But we all grew up in Ohio. The last 20 years, his work on the railroad transferred him to Savannah, Georgia. He just retired July of last year after 42 years on the railroad. All my family were railroad people, my father and uncles and my other brother also, and I worked for 5 months on the railroad during college breaks. I was the only one that really worked. I built track. The other guys sat up in the office, nice air-conditioned places. But anyway, we just weren't ready for that. He'd been sick a while, and, you know, it just always takes you. You're just not prepared for a death. I know, you know, even though Riley's been sick for quite a while, but you just never are prepared for that. So I want to read from James chapter 4, beginning at verse 13, that talks about how quick life really passes. And James says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." Life is quick. It's just short. And we're never ready for someone's passing, whether they're young or old. It just never seems that it's time. And so, yes, our life is a mist, a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow. Now, one of the most highly respected theologians of our time once said, "If someone had told me that when I was 20 years old that life was very short and that it would pass just like that, I wouldn't have believed it." And I cannot get young people to understand how brief life is, how quickly it passes. When you're young, you know, a summer vacation seems like a lifetime. The younger you are, the slower time seems to pass for you. Our daughter here, when she was between three and four years old, she was at the church building playing with the children after services. And there was a storage room in the church building there that we kept all the tools and excess lumber and things, but it was pretty nasty in there. And everybody knew you shouldn't go in there and play because they have in Brazil what's called barbeiros, or in English some people call them kissing bugs or assassin bugs or vampire bugs. And we mostly have these in Central and South America, but the problem with these bugs is they transmit the disease called Chagas. It was discovered by a Brazilian scientist, and maybe in English to say Chagas. But so Vanessa wanted to go in this room, and her little friend said, "No, you can't go in there. There's barbeiros in there, and you'll get Chagas, and you'll die." She says, "Well, how long does it take?" And they say, "Oh, it takes about a year, and then you'll die once you're bit." She says, "Oh, a year's a long time." And so she went in. But that's how children think. You know, a year, that's like a lifetime. And but really, no matter how long you live, time just flies. The older we get, the faster it seems to go. And somebody said, it's like a roll of toilet paper. Life is like a roll of toilet paper. When you get close to the end, it goes really fast. So I don't know which theologian said that, but another theologian said, "Time flies when you're having fun, so stay bored and live forever." But life really is short. But people are thinking, especially young people, how can that be short? It seems like I've been in school forever. Well, think of it like an airplane. If you've ever flown on a jet plane, you typically fly around 30, 35,000 feet in the air. These jets go around 500 miles an hour. And when you look down through your window and look down at the ground, it seems like you're barely moving. It just looks like you're just creeping along or maybe almost standing still. But you're going 500 miles an hour. The Earth is rotating on its axis close to 1,000 miles per hour. And it's circulating the sun about 67,000 miles an hour. That's all happening. Are you beginning to feel a little dizzy? But we feel like it's not, we just feel normal. It's still, we don't sense how fast we're really flying through space. And so life is like that. It's going fast, but we just don't notice it. 5.5 years ago when Cameron Waddell came to Highland Heights, he didn't even know how to walk. His mother had to carry him. Can you believe that? But today, he is an orange belt in Taekwondo. And that's true. He just got his orange belt. Congratulations, Cameron, on that. But can you imagine that? And we've seen him grow. We've seen, here he is. He's being held, and now all of a sudden he jumps off the air, and he can kick up in the air and do all these things that we can't do. Well, maybe if we did it, we would never be able to do it again. Psalm 39. Oh, Lord, make me know my end. And what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath, Selah. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing there are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. And the older you get, you realize that. You know, when we're real young, we have all these dreams and maybe visions, expectations. But as life goes on, you just see how fragile we really are and how quickly life goes. Psalm chapter 90 says, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. And why that's so important, to understand that we're finite beings. We're not here on this earth. This earth is not our home. We'll not be here forever. It helps us to prepare for the future and understand the purpose of our life. But what is life? Is life just a game? I don't know if you've seen this bumper sticker that says, and he who dies with the most toys wins. It's absurd, right? But I've seen that bumper sticker on people's cars. He who dies with the most toys wins, but he still dies. So a successful life is not measured by how many toys you have when you die, but it's measured by our personal, intimate relationship with God, that we're at peace with God, we have our sins washed away, we're children of God, we walk in the Spirit of God. Now open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 12, and I want to read some words from Jesus himself about what's important in life and what life is all about. Luke chapter 12, we'll begin reading at verse 13, and I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he, talking about Jesus, but Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" Now, Jesus isn't trying to say, hey, I don't want to mess with your problems, or I don't care what's going on in your family situation, or he's not denying that he has the capability of doing that. But I think the reason Jesus didn't want to get involved in this business transaction or inheritance dispute is because he didn't want people to think of him as a physical king here on this earth. Yes, Jesus is king, but his kingdom is spiritual. His kingdom is inside of us. And he was always struggling and wrestling with people's conception of him being a physical king. And so he didn't want to come across, yeah, bring all of your lawsuits to me and I'll settle them with the great wisdom and divine knowledge that I have. So he doesn't take the challenge from the man. And obviously there are other people that can settle that dispute. But Jesus takes advantage of it, beginning in verse 15, and explains something much more important than who should get what. In verse 15, he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions? And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store my grain and my goods. Verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So this is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So life doesn't consist of trying to gather up toys. And it's not a game. It's very serious. And Jesus explains to us we need to be putting treasures, gathering up treasures in heaven. But if you're not serving God, you're wasting your life. If you're not serving God, you're wasting your life. We don't probably think about wasting life. We talk about killing time, maybe, but wasting our lives. I'm talking with my older brother this past week, and we're both sharing with each other that probably the biggest regrets that we have, we didn't become Christians sooner. We wasted a lot of time, time, the precious time that we could have spent serving God, helping others to know God and understand His will. In 1974, I was wasting a lot of my life. I am the one on the right there in the back with my buddies at Kent State, and was not living a godly lifestyle. And eventually God blessed me through seeds planted through other people. Earlier I had tried to live a Christian life. I fell away. But I started looking for the church in the city where I was living at this time, and I didn't know a whole lot about the Bible. I saw this church and said, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I said, oh, that must be the Church of Christ. So I went there, and it didn't seem right. So I went a couple of weeks, and finally I found the church and started attending there. And they were very welcoming, very patient, and helped me grow in Christ and actually get my life totally changed around and pointed me to Fried Hardeman. I'd never heard of that. And so, but when we're not living for God, we're wasting our lives. Now, as Christians, we typically oppose abortions. If you understand what abortion is, that's a nice way to say we're killing babies. We're murdering children. So we're opposed to that, and we understand that. That's very clear. We oppose abortion, but do we accept a wasted life? Maybe you're wasting your life. Maybe you're a Christian, but you're not living really like that. You're wasting your life. Jesus isn't, he's important to you, but he's not the first importance in your life. You're wasting your life. So don't waste your life. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17 was read earlier by Jason. He said, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of your time. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So just what is our purpose in life? It's to glorify God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You're not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. So whatever you do with your body, the way you treat it, what you do with it, it should always be done to honor God and show the world what a great God we have when we serve Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So to live your life in a way that you're taking advantage of the gift that God has given you of life, that you're not wasting your life, you're serving God. That doesn't mean you're always at church services. You've got to go to work, you've got your family, you've got rest time. But anything that you do, you're going to do it in such a way that the world will see that Jesus is reigning in your life, that He's in control of your life. In Isaiah chapter 43, the Bible says, "Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I will say to the north, 'Give up,' and to the south, 'Do not withhold.' Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." So God formed us. He made us. He's given us a sacred life, but it's to glorify Him. And then last of all, the book of Ecclesiastes said that the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And so that's what life is about. It's not about gathering stuff. It's about serving and glorifying God. Life is short, but eternity is forever. If you're young, don't think, "Well, I've got time. You know, someday I want to do that, but right now it's just not on my, it's not my priority at this moment. But someday I hope to, I want to get my life right with God." No, you don't know. Typically, in the United States, people live to about 78, 79 years. That's their life expectancy average in the United States. But I read a lot of the obituaries in the Lebanon Democrat and see a lot of young people, people you would never expect pass for one reason or another, but we don't have the guarantee of tomorrow. And God wants you to be a Christian, to put Him first in your life right now. So if we can help you in any way, please come as together we stand and sing.